This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Friday. Hey, kids, it's the bonus show. Gary, how are you?
Good. You want to call it Misinformation Friday? Because this was Misinformation Week.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting here reading the Daily Caller here. Four major stories that were considered misinformation and disinformation until they weren't. The lab leak theory, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian bounties on American soldiers.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Hunter Biden's laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia collusion.
Right.
And I'm so glad that somebody is making this case. Democrats and the media spent the better part of Trump's first 3 years in office trying to make the Russian collusion narrative stick. And Democrats, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, claim to have direct evidence of this collusion. They lied to America. By the way, this interesting thing, I saw a point made, and we didn't make it, and so I'm upset. But it was Adam Schiff is on the January 6th, committee.
Right.
And yeah. It's like, right. Excuse me, Jim Jordan, what are you talking about? Adam Schiff lied to the American public about what the intelligence said about Russia collusion. He lied to America without question. Everybody knows it. Every Democrat knows it. He lied about what the intelligence actually said. Remember in that memo, the Democrat mm-hmm. memo mm-hmm. that they wrote. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Yeah.
And how do we know that he lied? Well, because of the inspector general's testimony going back, what, two Decembers ago? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, he's on the January 6th committee. Well, we know he lied
mm-hmm.
to the American public. He lied consistently month after month, year after year, about Trump and Russia collusion.
Sure.
And as we have stated, to zero debate, and I believe we're probably one of the first to do it in the United States, the only people by the Democratic standard that colluded with the Russians in the 2016 election was the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. By the Democrats' own standard.
And when you follow the facts in that story or in that case, there's nobody who's denied those facts. When Perkins Coie, the law firm, came out and said, yeah, that's correct.
I guess.
They actually did pay the research firm that got the disinformation on then-candidate Trump.
And there's the interview, because this has been known, we know this for a long time, but this is Trey Gowdy going back. They've got the audio cut. We may play it later on. Mm. He's the only person in the universe who claims to have evidence of collusion is Adam Schiff. And unlike any other secret he's ever had, he's actually kept this one secret.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you know, what's interesting is that he said that for the longest time, and then one night he just lobs this nothing ball across. It didn't even make it across the plate, and says, "Oh yeah, well the evidence is the Trump Tower meeting with Veselnitskaya."
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, that was on The View.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
Comey said that,
right?
Yeah,
and that's not the evidence.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And so it's just important to bring it up, and because late last week, the White House coming out and saying that, you know, they were getting, you know, they were basically telling Facebook
mm-hmm.
what to censor, what to edit, what to censor, what to flag, because I still don't know what flag means. They haven't defined flag. And then going after Facebook a couple of days later, saying they were killing people, which is, and then this is the best part. I mean, I know we covered it earlier this week, but it's the end of the week, and we have to encapsulate all the bizarro things that happen. Things that you say, really?
Mm.
Here is the White House coming out and saying, we are telling Facebook, and we're colluding with Facebook to keep out misinformation on the COVID vaccines. And then he goes out, Biden goes out and states that Facebook is killing people, which then he had to retract, which shows he was lying about Facebook and spreading misinformation on the COVID vaccine. You can't make stuff like this up. But when you look then at the focus of misinformation and you see over the last couple of years who promoted disinformation and misinformation, who promoted things that just weren't true, and who defended it, the major, major issues that either you were lied to or were kept hidden from you because of Democrats and the Democrats that run social media are all Democrats. Mm. And they are the lab leak theory. And they are the Russian bounties on American soldiers. And they are the Hunter Biden laptop. And they are Russia collusion. All lies that you were told that the media colluded with themselves and Democrats to either lie about it for years or not cover a story in order to keep you from knowing the truth. And there is nobody who can actually debate that, because it's the truth.
Well, you know, I don't expect anything less from the Democrats to put, you know, Adam Schiff on this committee, this January 6th committee. It's interesting, Andrew McCarthy had a piece yesterday that essentially this whole thing helps the Republicans save them from themselves. You and I kind of made that point, but he made it, of course, in brilliant fashion. And we were talking about it earlier this week, saying, okay, fine. Democrats want to take this on, let them. And we've said this about the Republicans. Don't step in and take any ownership. Look, they've got plenty of time to go on TV, do whatever they're going to do to counter whatever's coming out from this committee. But this is just one thing in a line of many that they should just let this whole thing fall squarely on the Democrats' shoulders. The imagery isn't going to be great, but if you've got something to say and counter it, then do so and be very, very clear about it along the way. But making the case that Republicans basically have a habit of tripping over themselves. I don't know that that is the case. I told you during the pre-show meeting, I don't know that's the case with a Jim Jordan. I think Jim Jordan has been spot on many things, and I don't remember. There could be a time or two where he's fumbled the ball. I don't remember it, though. I think he's done a stellar job all along the way. I think he's very good at bringing the facts out in the case. But if they're to shut the Republicans out, then great, let them. Let them take this on and counter it anywhere and everywhere you can if you've got something to counter it with. Do the same thing you would do on that committee and do it in the media. But we'll see where it goes. I don't expect anything less from Nancy. You know, the whole thing is a sham. But it's coming from somebody again, who led to sham impeachments.
Well, again, we knew that this was going to happen. We said it. We warned Republicans early on. You cannot politically defeat that imagery of what happened on January 6th.
No.
You can say everything that you want. You can make comparisons to what was going on in our cities. That imagery, you cannot win. So you did what most Republicans did, was you criticize the people that were involved in doing it, and then you move on.
Yep.
And then you quote the president specifically in what he said, and that's it. And then you move next. That's what you do. But you don't attempt to defend it. You walk away because you cannot win that imagery politically. And if you think you can, then that's what Andrew McCarthy was talking about, mm-hmm. is that he may have saved the Republicans from themselves.
Yep. Yep. Time and time again, they've stepped in. And again, we've told them, we've said it. You take ownership. You know, when you step in and try and take control of something, I forget what it was a few months ago. But they had this win at the hands of the Democrats. They were handed a win on an issue, and then all of a sudden they decided to jump in. You know, this is where it goes with spending and infrastructure.
I was just going to say that. We're thinking the exact same thing.
Mitt Romney is going to hand them the key to reconciliation.
Yeah. Republicans are absolutely idiots. On those 10 Republicans that are, 11 that are still negotiating the fact that they haven't walked away from this, I don't know what the hell they're trying to prove.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know.
What's the point? There is no point to it.
And if somebody says roads and bridges one more time, I'm going to scream.
Yeah, we pointed out some of the figures on roads and bridges.
Yeah.
They take, 1% of the entire amount that they wish to spend, less than 1%, that would be spent on roads and bridges, and that's what they focus on. And the rest of it, where they're flushing money down the toilet,
right?
And future generations' money down the toilet. Well, we won't look over there,
right?
And who's helping them? The Republicans that are still trying to get this, the bipartisanship means something. They're complete idiots.
Yeah, they're morons.
They really are. I've seen Republicans do dumb things. This is about the dumbest that I've seen on anything when it comes to spending taxpayer dollars or future generations' dollars.
Yeah, they're morons.
It's completely and totally irresponsible. I'm going to stop name calling. They're irresponsible. It's wrong. It's immoral what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep name calling. They're morons.
Yeah, but the whole point is, the only reason I realized when I agree with you on that, because politically, but also substance wise, about what we should be doing in this country, fiscally speaking, it is irresponsible and it's immoral to do what they're doing to help set up politically the Democrats to say, well, see, we got cooperation from the Republicans on all of this, but all these Republicans, wanted this kind of spending. The rest, don't want it, and therefore, but we got this, and now we need to go more because the Republicans, they've cooperated to a particular point on this, but now, and that's what they're going to use to attempt to spend trillions and trillions of dollars and flush it right down the toilet, help increase inflation, and put this debt, this incredible debt, on future generations. It's absolutely immoral. It's irresponsible. And that has to be said.
Well, and honestly, the name calling doesn't even fit, because I don't in this case believe they're morons. They know exactly what they're doing. There's no way you can't know that this is the key to reconciliation. There's no way on the planet that you don't know that. So you're part of it. You want that, what they put the figure at, it really will end up at a $5.5 trillion package.
It keeps going up. Yeah.
You're okay with that, because you know it's going to happen once you make the other package, the first package, happen.
We've got a lot to talk about here on this Friday. Any bombshells?
No. So far, no.
No bombshells for the Friday.
No, maybe the low rating. I don't think it's a bombshell. I think it's a given. Low ratings for the president. We'll talk about that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And you brought up the best point on the ratings that was about 1.5 million, is that MSNBC, it would be a given that Fox would win.
Fox is going to beat
that, right, yes. That's a given. But the fact that MSNBC beat CNN when the president was talking meant liberals don't even care about watching the president.
Exactly.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really the key point that,
right.
Wow, they don't even want to deal with it. Because I believe that most Democrats are embarrassed to watch his performance.
I
they
think
view
so
him
too.
As extremely
they
weak.
They want to look away. It's a train wreck.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up here on the show this morning, jobless claims rise. Democrat states still behind the GOP states when it comes to economic growth. NFL teams will be forced to forfeit if unvaccinated players cause a COVID outbreak.
Mm.
Misinformation week. More on that here. That's what we're calling it because of what the Democrats were promoting late last week that then went into this week.
Yeah.
Great article on should women's sports even exist?
Huh.
Now, before you get angry, there's a point to the entire article. It's something that you and I said years ago. By the way, we're not advocating it. It's trying to make a point with the liberal transgender activist movement in this country. Should women's sport even exist, that where the left is going is the point that no, it should not.
Right.
And we'll tell you what the mindset is and the thought processes behind that coming up. New poll, majority think that climate change is not as important as economic growth.
Oh.
Well, as we know, I want to see a poll on the top things that Americans are concerned about now that a Democrat is back in office.
No, we do this often when they come about. Quite often, what the agenda is for the left is not what the American people are concerned about. And you would think everything that you hear that right now, for example, climate change would be everything, right? I mean, if there's anything on the agenda list, that it would be right up there in the top five of concerns of the American people. Nope. It ain't. It's about getting your job back, about the economy being back to where it was pre-COVID. And sorry, but you got to hand that win, that economy, to Trump.
Did you actually, on this grammatically correct show, say ain't?
Yeah. It ain't no thing, though. Here's your forecast.
Today will be the heaviest of showers for monsoonal flow into Arizona and New Mexico. We'll see showers along I-25 north and south, and even as far north as I-40 east and west. Look for I-10 in Arizona to receive heavy thunderstorms at times. From Colorado into Utah, more thunderstorms associated with monsoonal flow from the south. Northward, severe thunderstorms with damaging winds and large hail are likely this afternoon and evening from North Dakota to northern Minnesota. Heat advisories are in effect for portions of the Gulf Coast from the New Orleans area eastward into Florida. Heat indices over 100 expected. And finally, we're getting some movement in a stationary front that's plagued the deep south with rain showers throughout the week. Most of the rain today will be in central Mississippi and Alabama, as well as southern Georgia and northern Florida. Clearing tomorrow. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Arizona Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, it's a potpourri of stuff today because there's so many things that happened this week, so we may be jumping from topic to topic. Things that we see that are really interesting, and this just caught my eye here. During the bottom of the hour break, I hadn't seen this because really nobody has seen. Does anybody really know out there? Do you know that Shep Smith, formerly of Fox, actually has a job? He really has disappeared, has he not?
It really has been very quiet.
Yes. Now, he works for CNBC, so he does have a show.
Right.
I'm going to guess fewer people watch it, though, than the president's town hall the other night.
Well.
On an average audience, yeah, because if they got a million and a half for the president, CNBC is employed in those kind of numbers.
Not in the evening.
No. But this is still a very important point because it shows that there is some self-awareness out there. Maybe not from Shep, but he did have on Eric Adams, the Democratic candidate for mayor of New York City, who won in the primary. Just going to play it, and then we will comment. It's not a long audio cut. There's not a lot that we have to play here. Here we go.
Eric Adams now, the Brooklyn Borough President, former police captain himself. Sir, thanks so much for being with us. Crime is obviously up across the country. It's up across the city. You've called New York City a place where lawlessness is the norm. Should you become our mayor, what do you plan to do about it on day one?
Well, we want to really look at, in particularly certain communities, where we have normalized just the lawlessness that you're seeing. And
there you go, right there. Democrats, a Democrat saying we have normalized lawlessness.
Right.
It's not Republicans who have normalized lawlessness in the cities. It is Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it is recognized by Democrats that they have. This is the same thing, whether it's critical race theory. They know that they have normalized racism.
Mm-hmm.
They also know that they have normalized lawlessness. Think about that now. This is recognized by a Democrat who was running for mayor of New York City, a liberal.
Right.
That's how bad it's gotten for the Democratic Party. They've normalized racism. They've normalized lawlessness. Just important to let you know that Democrats, when they are intellectually honest, know they have normalized lawlessness. That is not, it's not an accident.
No.
It is something.
He's repeating this, right. By the way.
Yes.
And believes this is going to be a winner for him. By repeating this, he believes it's a position, of course, given his background, then it is certainly resonating with people. He and his campaign know that. And why is it resonating with people? Well, because those people recognize exactly what's going on right now. They know. The people of New York City are afraid that it's going to get even worse if something isn't done soon.
And I think he's taken it a step above, and we've mentioned her a few times this week, Claire McCaskill's campaign back a few years back for the Senate, where she put together that ad in desperation in order to try to win it, saying, I'm not one of those crazy Democrats.
Right.
And we said, wow, that is what... And I remember you said it. You said, look, they're polling, their feedback, their focus groups. I bet you that, and I think it was a great point. You said, I bet you that in the focus groups that they do with voters, that it comes up that the Democrats are crazy. Otherwise, you don't use that language in an ad.
You don't go that far in an ad. You might, maybe in an interview it slips, but you don't put together a campaign ad and use those words unless those words came back to you in research.
And then you take it, a step further, because when you say the crazy Democrats, well, what does that mean on what issue? You know, what are the specific issues? And I think that's where Eric Adams has taken it and now talking about the actual issues that they have normalized, the insanity, when you talk about those crazy Democrats,
right?
It's like, what does crazy mean? Crazy means things like normalizing lawlessness in our society,
right,
promoting that the criminal, that the criminal is more important than the law-abiding American citizen.
Yeah,
that's right. So when you see that, it's like, wow, do they even know? Does he know the impact? Does Shep Smith recognize the impact, as liberal as he is? Does he recognize the impact or the self-awareness of a Democrat stating, and we go back to Tim Ryan back a few years ago when he ran against Nancy Pelosi, saying we've got to get out of this identity politics. He understood that identity politics is a stereotyping of groups, which and not judging people by individuals, which leads directly to racism, mm-hmm. which has led this party, the Democratic Party, as the official party, without question, of normalizing racism in our society by sounding like hate group, racist hate group leaders, which is normalized right to the president, lying about voting integrity laws and attempting to compare them to Jim Crow. I'll have to get the representative of Florida and see if I got the audio on that black Republican representative of Florida who said, by the Democrats doing it, you know, the racism is incredible because they're basically, by comparing what's going on today to Jim Crow laws, they're doing a terrible service to people that actually fought against Jim Crow laws.
Certainly, yeah.
They're not recognizing the seriousness of what Jim Crow laws actually did in this country, and that in itself is reprehensible. And so when you think about this, and we have gone back to the normalization that when someone says to us now that we live that systemic racism is a problem in this country, or institutionalized racism is a problem in this country, we don't believe it is for most people at all. And we don't think most people are into the systemic or institutionalized racism. I don't believe that the vast majority of America is a part of it. But the actual Democratic Party is where it exists. And the normalizing of lawlessness, which is why you see Biden. We're not for defund the Republicans are lying. The Republicans are lying. We're not about defunding the police, when everybody knows that's the biggest lie in the world. And they have to walk back defunding the police, because that's part of the normalizing lawlessness of the modern Democratic Party. And as we know, the racism with identity politics, critical race theory, they own racism and they own lawlessness. By the way, I don't hear Republicans saying that every day loudly. Where's that messaging?
No, they they're too busy working on infrastructure. Doing the work of the American people, Gary. How dare you?
Yeah.
They're focusing on bipartisanship.
It was Representative Byron Donalds said on Sunday that Democrats are showing complete disrespect to black Americans who suffered under Jim Crow laws when they try to compare events in American history to politics today.
Great point.
Not just Jim Crow, right. Slavery,
right.
All of it. They disrespect the memory of those people that actually went through those absolutely horrendous times in American history by comparing what's going on today to Jim Crow laws, to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They show no respect for the black civil rights movement in this country. None. Zero. By making that comparison. But that's what people that have the mindset of racist do.
Right.
When you promote identity politics, when you promote critical race theory, well then, duh, you're going to disrespect the true freedom fighters in this country.
You don't care. You don't actually care about the history.
No, you don't. You don't. You don't care about the history. But that's what racists do.
Right. Anything for the agenda.
Yep. And so, yeah, I just wanted to mention what Representative Donald said. Maybe I can find the Don't know if I have the audio on that or not, but that would, it would be nice to play if we could, if we could find it here. But that, that just popped into my mind when we were talking about Eric Adams coming out and just being blunt. We're normalizing, you know, talking about New York City. We're normalizing lawlessness. That's what he's talking about. That's a Democrat city. Democrats normalizing lawlessness. Think, and this is all part of what we have said, and we said this across the board when Republicans were talking about socialism and communism and everything else, and we understand the concept of it. We understand that in order to promote Marxism in our society, the way to do it is you tear down institutions and you turn people you turn people against each other,
right,
based on things like physical characteristics.
Right.
And that, and that's what you do. You lie in order to do that because that's what Marxists do. That's why Black Lives Matter. We all, now people finally understand it. Now people are coming to the realization, oh, that's why they're doing it. Because we always said, what's the motivation for the lie? And we said, Marxism. Right. You promote it by tearing down the institutions. Police departments are systemically racist.
Right.
To hunt down and kill blacks.
Right.
A lie, but you put that out there in order to divide people against one another based on the that lie. Systemic racism everywhere. That is a lie, but you do that in order to tear people apart. That election laws are like Jim Crow. You do that to tear people to attempt to tear people apart. And then you create a permanent crisis in the cities by having riots on a consistent basis that needs, again, more Marxism to help straighten it out. This isn't complicated, and we go all the way back, and this is all part of what we talked about this week, because earlier in the week we talked about how, you know, with, about Black Lives Matter and how they are being exposed, and then going all the way back to Colin Kaepernick saying it started with him. And when we started talking about Kaepernick, we brought it up. We said, look, this is his Marxist push. He's lying about the police in order to do this. And we would get feedback, no, he just cares. And he goes, no, he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care about it. And his comments on Cuba proved it. What he was trying to do is he looks at Cuba as the nirvana of political societies. We don't. And when Black Lives Matter came out for Cuba, it's the same thing that Kaepernick did. This isn't complicated. And what they are promoting is immoral and evil, and they're doing it in a racist way. And it's important to just recognize that, I think, as a society. But, yeah, I just thought it was interesting, Eric Adams saying that. We're normalizing lawlessness. Well, Democrats are the ones doing that.
Again, that's resonating with the people in New York City. Otherwise, he would not be repeating that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's working. Right. He and his campaign believe it is working.
Yep. Well, and they're also going up against Sliwa.
Yeah, right.
You're going up against Curtis Sliwa. You better be the law and order candidate.
Yep.
Because he's going to pound on you if you're not.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And
yeah.
If law and order in the Democratic cities was ever a bigger issue, I don't remember.
No, you know, you make a point, because back in the day when they were, you know, the whole effort to clean up Times Square and all that and to reduce crime, that was across the board, the people of New York City clearly wanted that to happen. It wasn't just about tourism. And now you actually politically, you have people who are okay with normalizing crime.
Yes.
Yeah. And
not just a criminal, a political party.
Exactly. And that is vastly different than what was going on back when they were trying to, again, clean up Times Square and reduce crime in New York City.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up, jobless claims rise. Democrat states still behind the GOP states, Democratic states still behind GOP states in economic growth. Really interesting. The 10 top states with the lowest economic growth are all Democrat.
Mm, right.
But I guess the top, or excuse me, the bottom, the top bottom.
Yeah, 10, right.
Are all Democrat states, and they talk about the fact of, you know, people moving during COVID, businesses moving during COVID,
mm-hmm.
Because now more than ever, because of everything that happened, and now we see with inflation, prices going up, supply chain problems. It's just the natural progression. You move to where it's freer to do your business.
Right. And safer. And once you make that investment, you're not likely to go back. You know, that's the thing. You make an investment in a move. That's a big investment. That's a long-term investment. You're not going to turn back.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 86690 Red Eye. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live. You can get our app and put it on your phone, and you can listen where and when you please. Well, what a great accomplishment I had today. First time ever. First time. What a great. This was just incredibly mind-boggling because I'd never thought of doing it before. I always viewed it as something that would be extremely tough to do, and it was one of the easiest things that I've ever done
mm-hmm.
in my life. And I must thank you because you were the one that encouraged me that it was very simple to do so. Mm-hmm. But for the first time in my life yesterday, I replaced a sprinkler head.
All right.
You may be the only person clapping.
Now, wait till you have to dig up an entire section of line and then replace that line.
Well,
between two heads.
I don't think I'm going to be doing that anytime soon.
It's a little more involved.
But I always looked
at it. But it can be done.
I always looked at the sprinkler head and went, just because I've had the system, what, can you believe, 14 and a half years I've had the house.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I got it. Remember when I was doing the mortgage stuff and everything else with you?
Mm-hmm,
can't believe it was that long ago.
Yeah.
So it's been in there for the longest time, and I actually broke the little thing that comes out yesterday by accident.
Mm.
And so it's like it's flying water flying into the air. And I went, oh, boy, what do I do here? And so when I came in, I said, is it easy? You said, yeah. And then I went to YouTube and it was, you know, the DIY videos. And I went, well, that's simple.
Right. It's it really is.
It was really simple. It's like,
you know,
wow.
A couple of things you have to be, you know, careful of. You don't want to get a bunch of sediment in the line itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have to dig properly around it and then it basically unscrews and you screw another one back on.
Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, that's it.
I just figured it was a lot more. I just never thought of it because I never had any problems with it. But I would look and go, oh, that never goes because people always talk about their sprinkler heads. How hard would it be? But it just shows you that things in life that you think might be hard are the easiest things.
Well, you know, the great thing about a sprinkler system is that it's not like you don't have to shut the water off to do that. It's not pressurized. There's not water going to it until it's sent.
Right.
And so, you know, unless it's actively running, then it's not going to. And the problem with that part of it is sometimes you won't see your leak if you're setting your sprinklers on while you're at work or whatever. You might not notice that there's something wrong. But in terms of repairs, it's really simple. I actually, we put in some raised garden beds, vegetable and fruit gardens. And so I had to raise the sprinkler heads to turn them into essentially garden sprinklers. And didn't take too long. I did 4 sprinkler heads and put the extensions on them inside of 30 minutes.
My question, am I now a licensed plumber?
No.
No, it takes a little bit more than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It takes a little bit more. You know, the thing is, for me, I've been doing it for so long. I owned rental properties and, mm-hmm. you know, and of course had kids and, of course, worked in radio, so I didn't have the budget always to hire a plumber. But on things where I didn't have to, you know, go in the ground and dig and where it gets a lot more complicated on simple things around the house. I learned to do that years ago. I'm not always fast at doing it. Sometimes I take way too much time. But yeah, it's just the flow of water. Now you want to make sure that everything is tight, especially on a supply line. You want to make sure that everything is tight because that can mean chaos. I woke up one time, gosh, this was just after we moved here, and it was probably, I don't know, a month and a half after we moved here, and there was a really bad leak under the kitchen sink of this house we had just moved into.
Ew.
6 weeks earlier. I woke up the next morning and it was slosh, slosh, slosh. It flooded the whole house.
No.
Local fire department was great. Of course, they didn't have any fires going on at that moment, so it made them available. They came over because we were having trouble shutting off the water at the street. And so they came over and helped tremendously in that effort. But yeah, you got to be real careful about that. I couldn't see what was going on, and it had broken, I guess, right at the time I went to bed, or maybe right after, and it just ran all night, full pressure. I mean, it was bad.
So it was a good day yesterday.
Accomplishing something.
And I got it done really early in the morning, and I was like walking around all day going, all right. It wasn't as hard as I thought. And I thought to myself, I probably saved, it would have cost me $100, right?
Yeah.
At least $100 to get.
Yeah, I don't know what the labor is on something like that, but yeah, the part is nothing.
Nah, the part was.
It's only a few bucks.
It's like $5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So very. Very pleasing day. No, I didn't go up into space in a suborbital craft, but I did get the sprinkler head replaced.
You know, I had to go to the DMV earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday morning. I had to go to the DMV, and our DMV now allows you to make an appointment online, and they encourage that because when you walk in, you just put your appointment number in this kiosk, and it essentially puts you at the top of the list.
That's awesome.
I was in and out of there with a new certified title to a vehicle I own. I had lost it, and actually the state lost it. But nonetheless, I was in and out of there in a few minutes, and I almost asked the nice clerk who helped me, I almost asked her, hey, do you mind if I just sit in the waiting room a little while longer so it doesn't look weird that I walk in the DMV and out of the DMV in a few minutes? It just felt weird. I considered that to be an accomplishment. But, yeah, good for you. Now you know what to do if a sprinkler head goes south.
I'm a man.
There you go. Not too hard. Not too hard.
All right, I have got to ask a question, and this is a serious question. How in the world could jobless claims rise with everything going on right now? I'm reading here, this from Axios, that employers are getting desperate to fill jobs. And just going through this here, the share of job postings that use words like hiring urgently has spiked over 50% since the start of 2021. There are certain industries in which the desperation is even more pronounced. Healthcare, 9.7% of personal care and home healthcare job postings are using terms like urgent, and it's up 6.6% for nursing jobs. Construction, 4.7% of postings mention urgency. Childcare, 4.6% of postings mention urgency. Employers are even offering perks like bonuses at higher rates. The share of the job postings on Indeed with hiring incentives is at 4.3%, up from 1.8% in July of 2020. Mm. Much of the increase has come in the last couple of months. 16.1% of Indeed driving job postings, trucking, delivery, and ride hailing are offering hiring incentives. Driving jobs are spiking due to the growth of e-commerce during the pandemic. 14% of dental jobs, 12.2% of nursing jobs, and 11.5% of veterinary jobs are offering perks. Healthcare jobs are at or near the top of both lists because the pandemic has both increased the demand for these workers and turned many away from the jobs due to the dangers of infection. The restaurant industry is having a hard time filling jobs, is not displaying as much desperation in postings as some other sectors. On Indeed, 2.1% of food service jobs are using words like hiring urgently, and 3.3% are touting cash incentives. Those employers may not be changing their behavior yet because they feel that this is a temporary problem. Many restaurants are also dealing with staff shortages by cutting operating hours, but healthcare facilities can't say we're going to close early. She says you just have to have the staff. And I just, that article just came out here the other day. And then you see today the U.S. jobless claims rise 400 to 419,000 from a pandemic low. I'm just looking at it. How could they possibly rise? I mean, when you think about the demand that exists out there right now, the unprecedented number of job openings, what was the last figure I saw? Over 9 million job openings?
Right, yeah.
But the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose last week from the lowest point of the pandemic. Even as the job market appears to be rebounding on the strength of a reopened economy, the Labor Department said Thursday that jobless claims increased last week to 419,000 from 368,000 the previous week. The weekly number of first-time applications for benefits, which generally tracks layoffs, has fallen steadily since topping 900,000 in early January. Now, it could be just because of reporting, because it's only a week.
Yeah,
and really you need to go month to month. But when I saw that yesterday, that's the only thing I could think of was how could, with demand right now for jobs that exist out there, it just is amazing. And the only thing I could come to a conclusion in is that it has to be some kind of reporting thing.
As of July 16th, there were 9.8 million job openings. The market had predicted about 350,000, and as you mentioned, it jumped to 419,000 from 368. They had predicted a fall of roughly 18,000, and all of a sudden there's this gain. It could be in the reporting. I don't know exactly, but you look at what they're expecting for the fall, and that is, of course, as the benefits run out in other states, the federal benefits, then they're going to see an increase in people jumping into the workforce. But 9.8 million job openings is huge.
Now, the other thing that you could look at here, which we will coming up, is the report Wall Street Journal doing an analysis on unemployment rates and where the economy is booming. The top 10, all the states with the highest unemployment rate, the top 10, all are Democratic states.
Hmm.
All are Democratic states. Mm-hmm. And they're saying most of them, it's months, since, you can sit there and say, okay, Republican states came out of COVID earlier.
Right.
And Democrats, they said, yeah, but that's 3-4 months old now.
Yeah.
And right. So that shouldn't be taking place. So what's going on? Why are Democrat states and the ones that they mentioned significantly higher? We'll get to that coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on defensive driving. Understanding your weight. The weight of your vehicle can be your friend, but it can also be your enemy. Weight is friendly when road conditions are slick and you're trying to get up to speed. This is called traction weight, and it can help you get up to speed without slipping or sliding. However, your truck weight can also be hazardous on slick roads. The same weight that helps you get going makes it harder to come to a complete stop. The more weight you have, the higher the braking distance. Compensate for the increased braking distance by keeping room between your truck and the vehicle in front of you. Knowing the weight of your freight will help keep you and everyone around you safe. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates, Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America, available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Now, I know that one of the reasons that people talk about, I don't want to discount this because we didn't bring it up in the last segment when we talked about how is it possible that unemployment numbers actually went up, more people filing for unemployment went up. Yeah, it could be the $300 in some states, but you have a bunch of states that have dropped. That have dropped that, mm-hmm. but that could also be the cause. When you look at the unemployment numbers, and this comes from the June numbers that had come out, unemployment was lowest in Nebraska, 2.5%, Utah, 2.7%, South Dakota, 2.9%, New Hampshire, 2.9%, Idaho, 3%, Vermont, 3.1%, Alabama, 3.3%, Montana, 3.7%, and Oklahoma, 3.7%, all are governed by Republicans, except for Vermont, which has a GOP governor and a Democratic legislature. By contrast, the states with the highest unemployment are all run by Democrats. Connecticut, 7.9%, New Mexico, 7.9%, Nevada, 7.8%, California, 7.7%, Hawaii, 7.7%, New York, 7.7%, New Jersey, 7.3%, and Illinois, 7.2%. Throw in Texas is at 6.5% right now, just to compare a big state like California and New York, and compare it to Texas, for example. Mm. And they mentioned that Hawaii and Nevada, of course, rely on tourism. That could take time to bounce back. You could look at that and say, okay, that might be, you know, one of the contributing factors. But they right. say, what's Illinois' excuse? Other Midwest states with a mixture of agriculture and manufacturing have unemployment rates near what they were at the end of President Obama's second term. Wisconsin, 3.9%, Indiana, 4.1%, Missouri, 4.3%, and Kentucky, 4.4%. What about California, the nation's richest state? While California makes up 12% of the population of the country, it accounted for only 9% of unemployment employment growth last month. Florida and Arizona lifted most of their business restrictions long ago, yet they still added jobs at 2 to 3 times the rate of California, saying that California is just opening up, and so you should see a huge surge. And these states that have been open for a while are showing rates, for example, using Florida and Arizona, at 2 to 3 times the rate of California.
Right.
And they look at it and they say, well, what's going on? For one, high-tax Democratic states have continued to lose population to low-tax states during the pandemic. This has likely contributed to their shrinking workforces and reduced local business demand. The flight of high earners and office workers has slammed New York City's restaurant industry. Prolonged lockdowns in Democratic states have also resulted in more permanent small business closures. At the same time, regulations and taxes are slowing business formation. Florida recorded twice as many new business applications per capita over the last year than New York, according to Census Bureau data. Some 250 licenses and permits govern businesses in New York City. Forget calculating all the taxes businesses have to pay to support government bureaucracies and public unions. Democrat-leading states, alt-led states, also are continuing the Democratic Congress's $300 unemployment benefit bonus through Labor Day, while most Republican governors have ended theirs early. This has probably contributed to the stubbornly high unemployment and slower labor force recovery in Democratic states. And they mentioned that President Biden conceded on Wednesday at a CNN town hall that there's some evidence that not having to pay rent and being able to provide for unemployment insurance has kept people from going back to work. There's more than some evidence, but we'll take that as his concession to reality.
Right.
So,
wow. Yeah, that's, of course, that's something that, and what's interesting is Biden and the Biden administration having to acknowledge some key items here along the way quietly. Of course, when you do it on CNN, nobody hears you. So we have to actually go to another source in order to find out that it was actually said. But it is certainly the truth that that extended unemployment is causing this. And it's going to keep going until it's over.
If a CNN presidential town hall meeting happens on CNN
and nobody's there to watch it,
does it really happen?
Bringing people together, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning. Thank you for being here. And finally on the economy, new poll out. The majority of Americans surveyed think economic growth is more important than addressing climate change. Even among Democrats. According to a Thursday poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research.
Yeah.
71%. 71% of Americans think President Joe Biden should focus on economic growth. This doesn't make any sense.
What?
Compared to 45% of those who feel climate change should be his main focus. 71 and 45.
Yeah.
There's a problem here.
Okay.
Unless it's 35.
I know that 100% of
pollsters
can't do math.
Okay, this poll's done differently because it's
it ranking?
Yeah,
because it's ranked.
It's okay. They're doing it like the voting in New York, so yeah. It gets awfully confusing.
All right, so they ranked it. Each respondent ranked it, and.
Right.
71% ranked the economy at number one, and then, you know, all the others below that.
The poll also noted more Democrats believe economic growth should be a federal priority than climate change, 76 to 71%. So okay. It was ranking definitely because I don't believe 76 plus 71 equals 100. Unless it is the new critical mass math theory.
Or the infrastructure math.
how to pay for infrastructure math. My God.
Right out of it's lawmaker math. No, that's well over 140%. No, it's not. Why not? Well, because we say it's not.
The preference for economic growth over the theory of global warming comes as Democrats have sung the praises of climate initiatives that would destroy the United States economy by imposing staggering costs on each household, which is true. As we said, take, for example, the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal would drive middle-class families into poverty by imposing staggering annual cost of more than $40,000 per household, research director for Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Will Flanders, said. At its root, the Green New Deal is a radical blueprint. We've already talked about this many times before when it first came out. To decarbonize the American economy.
Carbon, whether contained in wood, coal, gas, or oil, is a byproduct of burning fuel. Eliminating those energy sources would leave you nothing. Well, not only would you, if we did the Green New Deal, not only would you suffer from extreme poverty and a depression in this country, but people would freeze to death and they would die of heat in the southern states because you wouldn't be able to produce the electricity.
Right.
Just wouldn't be there. You couldn't
right.
do it.
Right.
Impossible.
Yep.
You know, that's more of the insanity when, you know, as we have talked about, it's not just the destructive force of critical race theory, defund the police, normalizing racism, normalizing lawlessness, as Eric Adams, Democrat for mayor of New York, has said. That's what Democrats are doing, normalizing lawlessness. It's also normalizing things that are completely non-scientific, which is we can run the economy on solar and wind, which is our ultimate goal. We talked about that with, you know, after February, after the situation in Texas, and we've talked about it when California has their power problems and where we're going, that it's absolutely insane. You think about it, it's pure insanity because you have a society wishing to commit both cultural and scientific suicide. Seriously,
right.
that's what's going on. I mean, the
right.
self-destruction of the Democrats, and that's why I think, look, it's important to talk about Marxism and socialism and communism and all that stuff without question, because we've seen what those political schemes have done to destroy significant parts of the world in our history. But it's also important to note, in order to convince people to get to that particular point, that what the Democrats and what liberalism promotes is actually a very, very self-destructive policy on a society. And you focus on both. But I think it's important to focus on how it's self-destructive, how it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with just a cursory knowledge of electricity understands that you can't run our modern society on solar and wind, which is exactly what they wish to do. Because they want to get rid of everything.
Right.
They want, because on the left, they want hydro gone.
Yeah, right.
You know, what are you talking about? I lived in Oregon. They want hydroelectric plants gone.
Yeah.
Why? It changes the natural landscape. They want hydro gone. They want nuclear gone. They want coal gone. They want natural gas gone. They want, you know, diesel gone. Any way that you could generate electricity that has anything to do with fossil fuels or nuclear or changing the environment with a hydroelectric plant, they want gone, and they've admitted it. The mainstream of the Democratic Party
right.
believes that in 30 years we should be running the entire economy on windmills and solar panels. They're delusional.
And the moment that they have a grid loss, that it will be the same panic that you saw in Texas. Lives were lost because Texas couldn't deliver energy.
But this survey does not surprise us because we go all the way back to 2008, 2009,
mm-hmm.
when we were working together,
yep,
and
yep.
the poll came out that showed that people that identify as liberals, and by the way, the majority of Democrats, I don't know what it is today, but back then did not like being called a liberal. That's when they
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
Right. They were called progressives, and they made that note
right.
that we called them liberals. So these are the most, you know, liberals. If you're willing to say, yeah, I'm liberal, that means you're extremely, back then, were extremely far left, and that's when gasoline prices were going, you know, up over $4 even here in the state of Texas,
mm-hmm.
where they were $5, $6, maybe $7 in other places in the country. And those that identify as liberals, even the majority of them, believed that lower gas prices were more important than the environment. So in the abstract, even liberals will say, no, we want this perfect society, until they realize they have to pay for it somehow. And then it's like, well, no, the rich guy over there has to pay. This is really the philosophy of the left. Here's what we want. Well, we don't want to pay for it. The rich guys will all pay for it.
The big corporations and the rich.
Right.
Defund the police. What about your police? No. The abstract police.
The abstract police. Yes.
What about tax the rich? Yeah, well, like Bernie. He used to say millionaires and billionaires. Now that he's a millionaire, it's just the billionaires. Go after the billionaires. Well, you're a millionaire. Well, that's only because I sold books. Yeah, we know that. I mean, it's just the insanity.
Oh.
The circular, it's the circular firing squad on some days, and then it's the dog chasing its tail in a circle on other days, but that's it. Create the abstract, right? We'll never be able to sustain if we don't go to sun power and wind power. We must switch to solar. We must switch to wind. The moment there is a massive grid failure, the moment there is a insanely harsh winter storm that takes over a significant portion of the country, because the one thing about the freeze apocalypse is that it affected every part of Texas. That's a big deal. And if you don't learn the lesson then you're not going to learn it.
You know, it's really interesting because we're talking about economics here. I think we talked about it. Did we promote it yesterday? I can't remember, but we just never got to it. But just when we're talking about economics and things like that, you saw that Sean Spicer went after AOC because she's selling all these goods on her website, you know, to all AOC stuff.
Yeah.
And he wrote, using capitalism to push socialism. That's what he wrote to her, using capitalism. And she writes back, not sure if you know this, Sean, but transactions aren't capitalism. Capitalism is a system that provides profit at any and all human environmental cost.
What?
But our shop is unionized, doesn't operate for profit, and funds projects like free tutoring, food programs, and local organizing. Well, no, you're wrong. Capitalism is a system that promotes the individual being the individual in a free market society, producing the goods and services, being in control of the means of production, is the individual AOC and all of her followers who don't understand that selling and purchasing goods has existed under every economic system. Well, the selling and purchasing and goods itself is not capitalism. These people don't even know the basic definitions of anything. Capitalism is when the government controls the means of production. Communism and socialism,
Communism is when the government controls means of production. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You said capitalism. Right.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. Right, right, right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Capitalism is a system that prioritizes profit at any and all human environmental cost. That is incorrect.
No. Not true. Not true.
Not true.
Because
capitalism is the individual, is the private person deciding what they are going to do with their capital. And they can do it in a variety of different ways. Some people in capitalism might prioritize profit at any and all human environmental cost.
That doesn't change the definition of capitalism.
No, that doesn't.
Because they choose to do that.
Because they choose. It is capitalism is the free market in control of the capital, not the government. So, of course, as we have said before, perverting the definition of words and their meanings is what the left has to do in order to make a point.
Yeah.
And it is the fact that she, as an individual or a group of individuals, even if they wish to sell goods and services and not make a profit on it, distribute those profits. By the way, they are making a profit because they're distributing those profits. They're distributing those profits to organizations that they wish to sell to.
Yeah, what you do with your profits isn't right. The point. You are making a profit.
Yes, you are making a profit. You've decided to distribute that to certain organizations, as you can do in capitalism. But the key of capitalism is the private sector controlling the means of production and capital.
And by the way, without the private sector, you wouldn't have the means to fund the government or any charity or cause.
Right.
There must be profits first.
It is interesting how AOC doesn't even know the basics of different economic systems. Not surprised, though, are we?
Nope.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. NFL teams will be forced to forfeit if unvaccinated players cause a COVID-19 outbreak. We'll get to that story coming up following the top of the hour. Basically, what they're doing is saying, you can still have a job, but if you catch COVID and you're unvaccinated, that means possibly your team will have to forfeit a game. If you're a vaccinated person and get COVID, then your team does not have to forfeit a game. So what they're doing is saying, yeah, if your team wishes to keep you, which means you're more likely that the general manager or the coach is going to cut you from the team. If you're not vaccinated, or you may just say, I'm not going to play for the team because you're going to be accused of not being a team player and it causes dissension in the locker room. Don't be surprised if Cole Beasley is not playing in the NFL this year.
Well, so it stipulates if they are responsible for an outbreak, right?
I don't know if responsible. If you catch COVID and you're unvaccinated, that could cause your team to forfeit where it would not happen if you're vaccinated. We'll have the complete story coming up. Plus, with the Olympics here, look at this article. A gold medal question. Should women's sports even exist? Interesting article.
Well, again, if we're going to get rid of discrimination,
yep.
Right?
That the only reason we have women's sports is because of biological differences. If the left feels that biological differences do not exist, there is no reason for women's sports.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you for being here. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live. Get our app, put it on your phone, and listen 24-7, 365. All right, here we go.
All right.
The NFL, this is from the New York Post, has laid out its strongest incentive yet for players to get the vaccine. According to a memo shared on Twitter, the league has mandated that a game cannot be rescheduled due to a COVID-19 outbreak among unvaccinated players. And that team will be forced to forfeit, resulting in a loss of playoff seeding. The memo says the league intends to play all of its games within the scheduled 18-week period, and a 19th week will not be added to the schedule under any circumstances, an idea that was floated in 2020 amid numerous outbreaks. Additionally, if a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled, neither team's players will be paid for that game.
What if there's an outbreak on both teams?
Then you forfeit.
Game doesn't go on, but I mean,
is it a loss for both of you?
That's my question.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a loss or is it just not a game played?
Right.
Which will get the team that got a loss and the other team got a win, will tick them off. That's a great point. I don't know, but that is where you're now forcing the players to probably either quit, who don't wish to get a vaccine, or caused dissension in the locker room because the majority of players have got the vaccine and the unvaccinated player will be considered not a team player.
Yeah, I mean, clearly this is the league getting to ownership and management saying, you know, get it in line. This is going to be the rule and, you know, trying to get ahead of it. But in enforcing it, okay, what if there's an outbreak on a team where you have players who are all vaccinated?
Then it's not the same.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if there's an outbreak on the team that's vaccinated, do you then not forfeit the game and the 19th week does come in? They didn't really explain. It hasn't been fully explained yet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The other sports story is the Olympics are here.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking the other day, I probably won't watch any of them.
I can't imagine tuning in and watching protesters. I know they're not all protesting, but I don't want to see any of it. I really don't. I had a British friend reach out to me, and he said the other day, and he said, it just boggles my mind that these people work really hard to represent their country only so they can get there and bash their country. And he's been in the States for, I don't know, probably 30, 40 years at least. And it is just, it is mind-boggling. I saw where there was an athlete here locally that was headed out the other day, and people were, they essentially formed a, it was kind of like a little parade, but a bunch of people were on the side of the road waving flags and the whole thing. I thought, what's that going to look like? Because you do have these athletes who, by the way, are very proud to represent the U.S. in the Olympics. And that's what I think is tragic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the media is going to, of course, elevate those who are protesting.
Yeah, for me, it's just I've lost it with sports. I just don't care anymore. I mean, it all started because of that, but it just ended up where I didn't watch so many sports. Where I didn't watch any of the British Open last week. None. For me, it's even beyond the protest. I have moved on. I just didn't watch sports for a while and have just don't have any interest anymore. I'm like, man, I really don't care. I try to keep up just, you know, what's going on in sports just for the, and if there's highlights in order to bring it up because it's part of, you know, the, you know, news talk arena, I'll go back and watch it, but it's just amazing. I've said people who don't know me probably aren't that shocked. People that know me find it mind boggling that I watch zero sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I've watched this year was the last round of Phil Mickelson winning the PGA. And I'm trying to think what was, and that's really it. And it's funny because my sports friends, people still send me stuff. Hey, did you hear this? Yeah, it's great.
It's like awesome.
I was addicted. I had at one time, from the time I was a kid, my brother and I in high school, going to see the NBA games, the Buffalo Braves that used to exist that are now the Los Angeles Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go all the time in high school. My mother finally had you guys got to stop going. We go because you get tickets for like $3, and our paper out money went to sit in the first row of the orange seats that were, you know, in the upper deck, but it was $3, so you could go.
Mm-hmm.
And probably with the supermarket specials you could get, you could pay a dollar for a ticket to an NBA game. And I got to see everybody. I mean, after Milwaukee won the other day, I didn't see the video, but I saw it on YouTube comparing the celebration of the 1971 Milwaukee Bucks, you know, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't even know if he changed his name yet. Mm-hmm. He might have still been Lew Alcindor.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Robertson and that great team. And comparing the celebrations, I saw all the greats play. I saw Will Chamberlain play, Oscar Robertson, John Havlicek. I remember sitting behind the Boston Celtics because we actually got $12 tickets. I don't know how we saved our money up. That was the most expensive ticket.
Right.
It's a ticket. Not now most NBA arenas would be about $4,000.
Hmm.
And, you know, Tommy Hines and chain smoking his cigarette. You know, it's those great Boston Celtic, teams that would come in. All the great teams that came in back then. So, I mean, I loved basketball. I just absolutely loved it. And hockey, you know, growing up in Buffalo, you just absolutely love hockey. Just love hockey. Had season tickets when I lived in Buffalo to the Bills. And it's just, you know, my life outside of doing my work and playing sports myself, sports was always on constantly in the background. I would sit there and I'd wake up, you know, and the NFL would start and I would be with the radio broadcast from most of people I know that were covering the Bills, even when I lived out of town by the internet. And then it would be on even college football Sunday. It would be on when I'd wake up. It was always on in the background, even if I wasn't, if I was doing things around the house, it would still be on. I was a passive watcher, and then the small TV would be outside or whatever as I was doing work. I can't believe where I've gotten to, where the Olympics now is here, and I just don't care. And I'm not doing it it's not a mean way. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to watch those people because I think that the athletes, for the most part, put in a tremendous amount of effort. And I'm not one that has ever looked at the NFL and other sports and has said they're a bunch of spoiled brats. I've known too many players and what they've had to do to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I know how hard it is. You may have a few of the superstars, but most players are right at the edge of success or not success. I mean, it's just a minuscule amount of them, you know, making really good money or being completely unemployed, not being able to make anything. And there's a lot of fear, you know, in any business, there's a lot of fear, but it's not easy to do what they do. And so I recognize all of that, but I just don't care. I just don't care about sports anymore. It's an amazing transformation. An evolution on my part, and I can't even explain why, because I know people that because of the protest stop watching sports and they go, yeah, I really miss it, but I won't compromise my principles.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for a short time I was there, but I'm amazed how quickly I went, no, I don't care.
Well, this is what it's become, so I don't even have to. And you see the stories surrounding all these athletes, the protesting athletes at the Olympics. I just don't have any time for that. I really don't have any tolerance for it, and I don't have any time for it. And it's especially tragic for those other athletes who don't protest. I wish them all well, but I'm not going to tune in. I'm not going to watch that when the Olympics is designed to send our best over to represent our country. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe in our country, I wonder why you even tried out for the Olympics.
I wonder what the numbers will be just in the fact that there's going to be nobody in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that changes a lot.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every sport, nobody's in. Nobody. Swimming, nothing.
Well, because especially with the Olympics, the crowds have been massive. Historically, massive crowds, because it's people there from all over the world. When you've got no one there, virtually no one there, I think what they say for the opening ceremony, it was going to be there will be fewer than 1,000. I think it was 950 some odd people that aren't just spectators. They're likely there for another reason aside from the athletes and officials that are going to be there. But in terms of the competition, the crowd is what really brings every. Can you imagine? You know, can you imagine Miracle on Ice with no crowd? Right?
Well, or, you know.
Because it'd be the question, hey, does anyone here believe in miracles?
It
wouldn't be the over the top.
Or going from, Michael Phelps all the way back to Mark Spitz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that, swimming just in a pool without anybody in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, it's what George Carlin says. It becomes not a sport. It's not drowning.
Right. Well, just imagine that an Olympic athlete sets a new record. And then they, you know, historically they would throw their hands in the air and the crowd is going wild. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be nothing.
You know, for me, I mean, early watching the Olympics, you know, and you think about track mm-hmm. and field without a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're younger than I am and you don't know it, what I first experienced in track and field that made me go, wow, was Dave Waddell, I believe, back in 72 at the Olympics, the guy with the ball cap,
mm-hmm.
where he's the American.
Mm-hmm.
He's last place. And I forgot which one it was, what meter race it was. Maybe it was a 4,000, whatever, but he's in last place.
Mm.
And in the last couple laps from last place comes all the way up and wins the race, and the crowd in Munich's going crazy.
Yeah,
and that's right. When you just – and right. you've got – what's his name? Jim – I can't think of the famous ABC reporter from Why World of Sports.
Oh, Jim McKay.
Jim mm-hmm. McKay doing it with the crowd in the background as Waddell. And mm-hmm. that's what made me realize how important the crowd is. You know, from high school student I was at that time
right.
to now,
yeah.
that in track and field, when you watch it, the crowd's everything.
Yeah.
It's just
well, that's what creates the euphoria for the crowd at home, for
yeah,
the audience
exactly.
at home.
Right.
It's not just the win, it's the reaction to it. It is part of the meter that lets you know what kind of moment that really is.
So are they going to do the fake crowd then? I bet you they do the fake crowds.
I've been wondering that all week, actually, if they're gonna do that. I don't know. I don't know the point. It's not real. You can't recreate that kind of euphoria.
They did it in the NFL. They did it in sports last year.
But they didn't. They weren't successful at recreating the euphoria. That's my point.
I don't think they were. The excitement in the home wasn't the same. Because they couldn't really get to that crowd intensity. They never got to the intensity that a real crowd gets to.
It is a real reaction by the collective audience. And you're not going to get to that. The NFL was proof of that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Stocks rose a bit Thursday. The Dow bumped up just under 0.1%. The S&P gained 0.2%, and the Nasdaq climbed about 0.3%. Home prices hit a record high in June, according to the National Association of Realtors. Despite more properties on the market, prices increased about 23% over the previous year, driven by low mortgage rates and pent-up demand thanks to the pandemic. High traffic websites from Amazon and Airbnb to major airlines went down midday Thursday. The outage was linked to a content delivery network on the East Coast. The sites weren't down for long, but it's the third major internet outage to strike big websites in the last few months. And Twitter reported its fastest revenue growth since 2014 last quarter. The social media platform debuted its first subscription service, which includes an audio chat function and a button to undo tweets. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino with the Marketplace Minute.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So I guess I just wonder, without the crowds being there and really no buzz in the Olympics. You know, you think about past years, there's just no buzz at all. It will be very interesting just to see in a huge event like this what the television ratings are, whether they're great or whether they're Biden-like.
You know, I do wonder, and I think there's a couple of, there are a few things actually working for or against the ratings, and that is that a lot of people have tuned out sports like you have. And I think beyond that, a lot of people are looking to get out, and we're trying to break this cabin fever more and more. And I think you're seeing evidence of that, people traveling either by car, some by plane, more and more during the summer, and how much of that is going to play into it. We'll see. I wish all the athletes well, and I, you know, in order to get to that point, it has often been years and years and years of conditioning and training. That's not a simple thing. They don't get there, you know, by deciding one day, hey, I'm gonna try out for the Olympics here in a few months.
With talking about the Olympics, there's the headline right here: a gold medal question. Should women's sports even exist? Before you jump to a conclusion, we'll have the meaning of this article coming up.
Here's your forecast.
Today will be the heaviest of showers for monsoonal flow into Arizona and New Mexico. We'll see showers along I-25 north and south, and even as far north as I-40 east and west. Look for I-10 in Arizona to receive heavy thunderstorms at times. From Colorado into Utah, more thunderstorms associated with monsoonal flow from the south. Northward, severe thunderstorms with damaging winds and large hail are likely this afternoon and evening from North Dakota to northern Minnesota. Heat advisories are in effect for portions of the Gulf Coast from the New Orleans area eastward into Florida. Heat indices over 100 expected. And finally, we're getting some movement in a stationary front that's plagued the deep south with rain showers throughout the week. Most of the rain today will be in central Mississippi and Alabama, as well as southern Georgia and northern Florida, clearing tomorrow. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by Low Viscosity Kendall Super DFE. With increased protection and fuel savings, low viscosity leads to victory.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Well, with the Olympics taking place, I'm scanning the headlines, and I came upon this one. I see, I see that Olympic weightlifter, the transgender woman, and I see a headline, a gold medal question. Should women's sports even exist?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that my outside voice?
Well, it comes, yeah. It comes from the point of view of not us asking the question, because we agree, yeah, women's sports absolutely should exist. But actually, this coming from the liberal perspective,
right?
Should women's sports exist? And that's what Charles Lipson in this Real Clear Politics article is talking about. He said basically talking about the Tokyo Olympics and the latest furor over the transgender participation in women's sports. It came when the New Zealand named a transgender woman to its weightlifting team. And it says the athlete's participation raises questions far beyond this Olympics or that particular sport. The same question arises whenever a transgender person competes at any level. A transgender woman competes at any level, from high school to world class. When the winner takes the victory stand, biological women cannot help but wonder if they were treated fairly, right? Transgender athletes respond pointedly that it would be unfair to exclude them. She's a woman, they say. This is a woman's event, so she should compete. The problem with this debate is it raises other fundamental questions. Should we have women's sports at all? Why? What is the rationale? And how compelling is the rationale? The answers to those questions provide an answer to whether transgender athletes should compete in women's sporting events. A century ago, the answer would have been obvious. Men and women were separated for all sorts of reasons: social, cultural, and biological. Mixed competition would have been unthinkable. Today, our norms about gender and sex are substantially different. The default is that men and women should be treated identically. Treating them differently, such as separating them in competition, requires a strong rationale, at least in liberal societies. Separate treatment violates deeply held modern norms, which oppose discrimination because of irrelevant criteria such as race, sex, gender, religion, and national origin. We consider it a national disgrace when black baseball players were excluded from Major League Baseball until Jackie Robinson ran onto the field in 1947. His race, though, had no bearing on his skill as a ball player. Yet no one today would celebrate Rory McIlroy or Dustin Johnson integrating the Women's Professional Golf Tour. Interesting, because Tiger Woods' name is not in there. That would always be the first for the last 25 years.
Right.
Not Rory McIlroy.
That is interesting.
Dustin Johnson.
Wow.
Why the objections to McIlroy or Johnson on the women's tour? For the same reason golf courses provide separate tees for women. The same reason the WNBA uses a smaller basketball than their male counterparts. The same reason there are thriving women's leagues in tennis, soccer, bowling, and dozens more. It's not about the social construction of a gender. It is about the biological differences that bear directly on performance. Biological males and females differ systematically in size, strength, speed, height, lung capacity, and agility. Acknowledging those differences is separate from respecting how any individual self-identifies. Given our widely shared opposition to discrimination, those physical differences are the only reason to permit separate events. If gender differences don't matter for a particular sport, then the rationale for separate events is weaker than our liberal ideal of non-discrimination. We would never permit, much less require, this kind of gender separation in chess tournaments. It would violate our basic norms demanding equal treatment unless there are very powerful reasons to treat people differently. Those reasons and their pervasiveness will differ from sport to sport. They hardly matter. Like for show jumping and things like that, they probably don't matter for target shooting, but they do matter for archery. Top male athletes pull their bows with higher draw weights than do top females, so they can shoot arrows with flatter trajectories, less affected by crosswinds. The difference matters in golf, too. On the men's professional golf tour, the average drive is 295.5 yards. On the women's tour, even the longest hitter does not drive the ball that far. And then goes to the Boston Marathon, where male winners finish 10 to 15 minutes faster than women. The differences is the evidence that we should crown separate winners. So there you go. And that's the entire point. If the left is saying that biology doesn't matter, that there's no difference in the biology of men and women, this goes to the whole point of, wow, the first man got pregnant, right? There are no biological differences. If you say, this is the insanity of the left, if you say men and women are exactly the same, to the point where liberals now believe that men can get pregnant and that transgender women, men that transition to women or say they are women, should be able to compete because there is no biological difference, then there is no reason for women's sports.
Right. Well, I mean, we've been saying that eventually you're going to eliminate women's sports anyway, right? With that attitude, with that agenda, you're going to get to the point where women's sports is gone. Yay! Let's champion an agenda. And all of those female athletes need to stand aside. Why? Because the man says so. It's plain, right there in plain sight. How many parents have we seen that have come out and well, Governor DeSantis doing what he did. Politically, he knew he that was the right move because you had parents screaming about their daughters not being able to compete.
Right.
And the left is always, it's everything is always about being fair. Fair. This is fair. That's fair. Well, then, okay, if it doesn't matter, then what about the hormones, male hormones? What I'm saying is if the man who's living as a woman has more male hormones, then you should let the women on that team take artificial hormones to boost their male hormones. Right? Now, I know in certain leagues and certain organizations, they already ban it, and they say, no, the hormone level must be this. Otherwise, you can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe that that athlete should be able to compete in women's sports, then you must also believe that the other athletes, the female athletes, should be able to boost their male hormones.
But it's still, the hormones aren't everything. It doesn't change it
well,
once you go,
well, no,
once
you go strength, through puberty. It's structure, it's size,
yeah,
and everything
once
else.
Once you go through puberty, puberty as a man.
But making the point that
really
you cannot logically argue at all if you're on the left. You can't.
No, well, the only thing is when you say, no, I'm not for that, you're transphobic, which means somehow you fear trans people, which, of course, is a ridiculous statement. That's the same thing that if I disagree with you on critical race, if I disagree with you on you being a racist and I don't accept racism, then I'm a racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Shout you down and call you a bigot.
I'm going to call you a particular name. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, men and women are biologically different. In order to get there, the left has to sell to you that there are no differences between men and women. And, you know, the whole thing of being fair, well, it's not fair because the trans woman has nowhere, you know, the biological male who says that they are a woman have no place to compete. Yeah, they do with the men.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have the physical ability to do that. Well, welcome to the club.
Right. Many of them haven't been successful in competing. And so all of a sudden they're transgender and now they're competing in a different classification.
Right. Sorry. That's bogus. But the whole point is, if it's allowed and we are sane, if the morality is there is no biological difference between men and women, then there's no reason for women's sports anymore. None. If that's the belief,
the left doesn't care about women's sports, they clearly don't. So I'm guessing they're okay with that.
If that's the belief and that's their science, which of course is ridiculous. But if that's what their science is, that there is no difference and there is no biological difference, that's why they're celebrating men get pregnant. Well, the first man got pregnant. Well, you're an idiot.
That didn't happen. That's never happened.
You're a complete idiot. Well, you're a something. You're a trans pregnancy phobe.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're an idiot. Men don't get pregnant. That's science.
You saw the recent story of the couple, both of them trans, a male to female, trans, and a female to male. Well, of course, the biological female gave birth. But then, of course, inevitably, the man living as a woman tried unsuccessfully to breastfeed. That's how stupid it's gotten. That's how stupid it's gotten.
And again,
I don't care how you want to live your life,
neither do I.
But you're not going to change biology to the extent that a man is giving birth, and that because that's the absurd part, or that a biological man is going to breastfeed a baby. that ain't going to happen.
This is the kind of, again, delusional thought and self-destructive thought that the Democratic Party embraces. And it's complete. Everyone knows. Every Democrat knows. How many times have we said this on the air? And Democrats are shaking their head. Yeah, we know. How self-destructive this is, and every Democrat knows it's bogus. Every single Democrat out there listening right now knows it's completely and totally bogus. Yet they go along with it.
Yeah.
And these are major things in society. Designating a lie that men and women are interchangeable. Biologically, they're attempting to sell you that.
It's insane.
Yeah. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. So really interesting article. And again, the headline is a little bit of clickbait, should we get rid of women's sports? But it does bring it is totally legit, the mindset that it shows of the modern liberal today.
Yeah, the far left does not care about women's sports.
Right.
And I think they've proven that. So then the question that you would have to pose to them.
Right.
Should we get rid of it?
And the mindset that you get from the Democrats and the left, there is no biological difference between men and women. That's the whole concept, again, of men being able to get pregnant, and they all celebrate that, which is, of course, ridiculous, unscientific, not true, balderdash.
Crap.
Exactly. And so, but under that mindset that is growing, that's accepted by liberalism, growing within the Democratic Party, the next question would be then, why is there women's sports? Women's sports should not exist if men and women are interchangeable.
Right. And if you actually care about women's sports being in play, and you're on the far left, then why haven't you demonstrated that? There's nobody. There are very few. A couple of feminists along the way that have come out and said, no, we can't do this. Aside from parents, we're talking about people who are on the far left, who in the past, again, didn't have that kind of pushback, but now they see it. But there are very few that have been outspoken about it.
When you had Gloria Steinem come out, though, and support it, then at that point you had the traditional, and a combination of the traditional and modern women feminist abandon women, which is really incredible when you think about it.
No, it is.
Sorry. Women, we don't care about you anymore. Pretty amazing.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.